which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule that God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you, also in preaching the gospel. Not boasting of things which without our measure, that is, of other men's labours, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And trust that God bless the reading of his word. And Paul moves here into a different section, really. He moves from praising them for their liberality in giving to a sense of disappointment in them, at least some of them, for not recognizing his calling by God himself to preach the gospel, and his authority in doing that. And he starts off with, "Now I, Paul, myself." And he's letting them know here that he knows what they've been saying about him. In verse 1, "I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." And this is what they've been saying about him. "Who in presence am base among you, or lowly among you, or humble among you, but being absent, am bold toward you." In other words, they're saying Paul's bark is worse than his bite, really. When he's not there, he's pretty bold in what he's saying in his letters, but whenever he is there, he's quite meek and humble in their presence. He wouldn't come into the room and everybody wouldn't just go wow at Paul's presence. He would just come in quietly, probably, and in meekness and in gentleness. And because of this, probably, they're accusing him of having no authority from God. And of course, Paul wants to follow his Lord's example, really, doesn't he? And he's probably realized that true spiritual power is found in meekness and gentleness, like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants God's control. He wants God to be glorified. And, you know, if just keep your finger there and turn back to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. This is the same person. This is Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul after his conversion. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of them letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that's the believers, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And you know that Paul wasn't always gentle and meek. There was a time when Paul was quite the opposite. There was a time when he wanted to exterminate and destroy every believer on the face of the earth. He just wanted to wipe them all out. And God changes people, doesn't he? It's amazing the change that there is in Paul's life. And I believe the closer that Paul got to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more he became like him. And the more he wanted to become like him in gentleness and meekness, as the Lord Jesus Christ was gentle and meek. Paul didn't get to visit him very often. And in a sense here, he doesn't want to come and have to chastise him when he comes. That's what Paul is pleading for them to really repent, to reconsider. And, you know, there's some men of the assembly here that have to go away from home to work. Think of Mike here and Jonathan and even Philip. And they're away for part of the week or even maybe 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And, you know, if their children are playing up at home, and no, none of them do, they wouldn't do that. If they are, I'm sure the last thing that these men want to do when they come home is to have to spend their time chastising and confrontation and putting things right. And I suppose if they lifted the phone and they asked their children to behave themselves and to reconsider what they're doing, and plead with them to do that, and maybe be a bit stronger in that. They would hope that their children would do that. And Paul, I believe Paul feels the same way here. He doesn't want to spend his time when he visits them being cross with them, really. But he wants to enjoy his time with them. As he says back in chapter 2, how that he enjoys his time with them. And they're an encouragement to him. And he looks forward to seeing them because of that. And so he doesn't want to spend his time chastising them when he does come. And so he urges them strongly, but in a gentle way and a humble way, to acknowledge that he has been commanded by God and not by men or by himself. And you know, Paul knows very well what carnal weapons are. I'm sure Paul used the sword. I'm sure as he stood by and watched Stephen being stoned to death, he knew exactly what carnal weapons were. And as he was consenting to Christians being thrown to lions and them being used as carnal weapons, he knew right well what carnal weapons were. And so he contrasts his previous life to his present life. And he says, look, I'm not using carnal weapons here. I don't force anybody. There's nobody under sword point, as it were, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. My weapons are mighty through God. They're mighty through God. Many people have been delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit, not carnal weapons. And he's putting this case to them. If he was in the flesh, the things he was doing were of himself, his way of doing it wouldn't be this way. But God's way is gentleness and meekness. And it's nothing to do with the flesh at all. Nothing to do with the flesh at all. And although some of these believers didn't seem to see it, their salvation was a result of the mighty power of God brought to them in and through Paul by an earthen vessel, as he mentioned back in chapter 7. Meekness and gentleness, and even through that, strongholds have been pulled down. Strongholds have been pulled down. I don't have time to look at the weapons that Paul's talking about, but what I want to look at is really what is a stronghold. What is Paul speaking about here when he mentioned a stronghold? And you know, a stronghold begins with a foothold. A foothold. It begins with a foothold. And if you look up what a foothold is, it's a secure position from which further progress may be made. A stronghold isn't a building or a place in this instance that Paul is talking about. You know, we don't get the bulldozer out, as Edwin was mentioned earlier, and just bulldoze down places where we think are strongholds of Satan. This is not what Paul is talking about. Now, verse 5 makes it clear what these strongholds are. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Stronghold begins in the mind, and it begins as a foothold. There's a fellow in work, and he has an 8-year-old son, and he just loves playing Minecraft. I'm sure many are familiar with Minecraft. A lot of the young ones are away today. I'm sure a lot of them know what Minecraft is. I'm not too familiar with it, thankfully. But he gave his son an old mobile phone to play Minecraft on, and it was linked to the internet. And he could download stuff. And every now and again, when he was playing the game, there was this little, I'm not sure what it was. It was a girl or a creature or something appear on the screen. And she was called, or it was called Momo. Have you ever heard of that? I don't know if anybody's heard of it. And Momo, which is a very endearing name, isn't it? Would dare this young boy to do certain things. Every now and again, it would just creep up and dare him to do something. I think one of them was to shave off one of his eyebrows. I know it seems innocent, but then one of them was to actually cut himself. The next one was. This actually happened now, and I'm telling you what this fella told me in work. And then it eventually got to a stage where he came and told his father. He says, "Momo wants me to get a gun and to shoot my family, but I don't want to do that." Now that's how far that actually took him. And it got a foothold in his mind, in his young mind. It just shows you what is out there. You know, there was a time when Satan used our friends way back, you know, maybe 100 years ago, he used friends and and other people that we meet to influence our minds. And then we had radio and television, and maybe you think that's been a wee bit, but those things influence our mind. But now we have the whole world, the World Wide Web, as it's called, which is influencing the minds, not just our young people, but us as well. And we carry around with us in our pockets access to it. And our young people today especially, they wouldn't go anywhere without their mobile phone. And they feel as if their right arm's been cut off if they have to leave the house without the mobile phone nearly. And it will get worse. I believe it will get worse. In our society today, you can see it happening. The old preachers used to say, don't let the devil into your house. Used to talk about the television, didn't they? And, you know, the devil's in our pockets, really. Access to these things are in our pockets. And I'm not putting down mobile phones. Mobile phones are a great invention in their own way, but it's what is on them and what we're allowing our children to view on them. These strongholds are very much a threat to the growth of every believer. A threat to the growth of every believer. Anything that stops us from growing in the Lord Jesus is a stronghold. And even in work, you know, when you're sitting at the table, when you're eating your lunch or whatever, right around that table, every person is on the mobile phone. And they're flicking up things on Facebook and whatever, YouTube. And the amount of things that you hear, never mind see, they just flick up and you hear just that bad language coming out before they even get time to switch it off. It's just unbelievable. One particular fella, a good Christian fella, he says that at night, very often, he teaches Bible classes and stuff, Sunday school. Very often, he falls asleep on Facebook. You know, these strongholds, they can be pulled down, you know. They can be pulled down with the mighty power of God. When the truth of the gospel really grips us this morning, when it enters a human being's mind, what the Lord Jesus Christ done for us, what he went through, and Raymond mentioned us coming here, maybe going through the motions. What he actually went through for us, would humble any of us this morning. It should humble any of us this morning as we're here. As we've just remembered him and what he has done for us at Calvary. That should be foremost in our minds. It's the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said back in 2 Corinthians 4, that he was always buried about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We sang that little chorus, I want to worship the Lord with all of my heart. Give him my all and not just a part. And I believe this morning that, and I'm speaking right to myself here, first of all, that our minds are taken up with far too much stuff. And if we want to worship the Lord with all of our hearts, I believe, and sincerely we do, then what are we thinking about during the day? When we're working and we get that minute just to think about something, what comes into our mind? Is it the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is it what he has done for us? Or is it something else that has popped into our mind from an image, from the internet, from the television? You know, there are things in my mind that I wish I'd never seen. And they pop up every now and again. And there's things that you watch on TV and whatever, and you wish you'd never seen them. And those are things that the devil actually uses in our minds. God wants our minds to be pure and holy. I'm going to read you a quote here. I'm not even sure who read it or wrote it. But I wrote it down here. The obedience of Christ is perfect freedom. His captives wear no chains and know nothing of forced service. His yoke is easy, not because it does not press hard upon the neck, but because it is lined with love. And his burden is light, not because of its own weight, but because it is laid on us by love and is carried by kindred love. A person only commands himself who gladly lets Christ command him. Many a hard task becomes easy. Crooked things are straightened out, and rough places often made surprisingly plain for the captives of Christ, whom he leads into the liberty of obedience to him. Our minds, it can be filled with stuff, but we can take those thoughts captive, as we read in verse 5. By the word of God, the sword of truth. And there was many a text up in our house at home, where I was brought up. And one of them was Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. When I was young, I didn't really understand what it meant. And it says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And that was up on our wall. And didn't really understand what it meant then, but thankfully in some sense I do now. If your mind is in turmoil, you know, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The pulling down of strongholds, as Paul talks about, the strongholds are in our mind. The pulling down of strongholds comes through the Holy Spirit and through his word. In verse 7, Paul asks them, he says, do you look at things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Paul asks them, are you confident that you belong to Christ? And Paul says back to them here, I am every bit as confident that I belong to Christ. And I'm also confident that I've been commended by God. That's what he's saying to them here. He's confident that he has been commended by God. This is what he's trying to get through to them, that he's been commended by God. Now, even though some of them have no confidence in Paul's authority, Paul has every confidence that he is commended by God. And assures them that he will carry out that which he has threatened to do when he comes. If they don't put things right, if they don't sort out the matter that he has asked them to sort out. Verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves as some that commend themselves, but they imagine themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves, are not wise. That's not a Northern Ireland statement, isn't it? They're not wise. But Paul says here, they've no understanding. They're not wise if they're comparing themselves amongst themselves. And there were those who were condemning Paul, who were commending themselves in the flesh. They were doing exactly what they were accusing Paul of doing. They were accusing Paul that he was working for himself, that he was doing this for his own good. And there were those that were doing exactly that were actually condemning Paul. And they were comparing themselves among themselves. And that's how they were getting to a place of authority. They were saying, well, I'm better than you, I can do this. Or I'm more spiritual than you, I should be doing that. Or I've been saved longer than you, so I need this position. And that's really what they were doing. Commending themselves among themselves and comparing themselves against each other. You know, Paul doesn't boast of anything that he hasn't done through Christ. Or in anything that someone else has done, he points this out to them here. He's not boasting in something that somebody else has done. He's only boasting in what the Lord has done through him. And his authority is not where someone else has labored. He's not coming in and taking someone else's work over. This is where Paul has worked. And it was him that brought the gospel to these Corinthians through the Lord Jesus Christ. Brought the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. And in verse 15, the last part of it. But having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. His prayer was that as their faith increased, and they become closer to the Lord, that their acceptance of him as God's servant would increase. And he makes it clear to them in that it was given for their edification in verse 8. This authority that he has is not for their destruction. It was given to him for their edification, to build them up. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. If he was to boast more about it, he wouldn't be ashamed about it because God has given it to him. But he wasn't boasting about it. He was boasting about what the Lord had done. The person who commends himself is not approved, as he says here. In the last verse. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And the one who boasts, let him boast in God. You know, this morning, if we take nothing else away, may we endeavor to keep our minds pure this morning. We're living in an age where there's so many distractions. And anything that is a distraction to our mind really becomes a stronghold of Satan. Satan can't indwell us because the Holy Spirit indwells us. But he can distract us. And he does. May each of us here, if each of us here in this building this morning, and would endeavour to clear our minds of everything that's in it. It doesn't need to be there. There are things that need to be there. Everything that doesn't need to be there. and to put Christ right at the forefront of our minds. You know, we could transform other people's lives by that. People would see that we have been with Christ, that our weapons are not carnal, that they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Just trust that God will bless his word to our heart, and that I would endeavour to put this into practice as it's been a challenge to me. And just close in prayer. Father, we're thankful again for your word. May we hide it deep in your heart, deep in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Father, help us to be much in your word. And when we, in our minds, decide to go to your word and something distracts us, Father, help us to persevere. And to read your word and to hide it deep in our hearts. Forgive us, Father, for failing in this many times we fail. But help us even from this day that we would seek to have our minds pure before a holy God. Help us, Father, to understand your word. Give us wisdom. You've told us if any man lacks wisdom, to ask of God, who gives to all men freely. And when we're reading your word, help us to ask for wisdom. We just pray, Father, you'll help us to do this. We pray for the gospel meeting tonight. We pray for Martin as he comes to speak to us. We ask, Father, for your help. We pray even from the outset for the singing of the hymns right through the meeting, that you would be in control. And we just ask for your blessing, even the salvation of our precious soul. We ask this in the Saviour's name. Amen. I'll just make announcements while I'm up here.